Excuse the straight question, Higgins.
Mm?
Are you a man of good character where women are concerned?
Have you ever met a man of good character where women are concerned?
Yes, very frequently.
Well, I haven't. I find that the moment I let a woman make friends with me, she becomes jealous, exacting, suspicious, and a damn nuisance. I find that the moment I let myself make friends with a woman, I become selfish and tyrannical. Women upset everything. When you let them into your life, you find that the woman is driving at one thing and you're driving at another.
What, for example?
Oh, Lord knows. I suppose the woman wants to live her own life, and the man wants to live his. And each tries to drag the other onto the wrong track. One wants to go north and the other south, and the result is that both have to go east, that they both hate the east wind. So here I am, a confirmed old bachelor, and likely to remain so.
Come, Higgins, you know what I mean. If I'm to be in this business, I shall feel responsible for that girl. I hope it's understood that no advantage is to be taken of her position.
What? That thing, sacred, I assure you. You see, she'll be a pupil, and teaching would be impossible unless pupils were sacred. I've taught scores of American millionaireses how to speak English. The best-looking women in the world, I'm seasoned. They might as well be blocks of wood. I might as well be a block of wood. It's... Well, Mrs. Pierce, is it all right?
I just wish to trouble you with a word, if I may, Mr. Higgins.
Yes, certainly. Come in. Don't burn that hat, Mrs. Pierce. I'll keep it as a curiosity.
I'll handle it carefully, please, sir. I had to promise her not to burn it. But I had better put the hat in the oven for a while.
Oh, thank you. Well, what have you to say to me?
Am I in the way?
Oh, not at all, sir. Mr. Higgins, will you please be very particular what you say before the girl?
Of course, I'm always particular about what I say. Why do you say this to me?
No, sir. You are not at all particular when you've mislaid anything or when you get a little impatient. Now, it doesn't matter before me. I'm used to it. But you really must not swear before the girl.
I swear? I never swear. I detest the habit. What the devil do you mean?
That's what I mean, sir. You swear a great deal too much. I don't mind your damning and blasting and what the devil and where the devil and who the devil.
Really, Mrs. Pierce, this language from your lips.
But there is a certain word I must ask you not to use. The girl has just used it herself because the bath was too hot. It begins with the same letter as bath. If she knows no better, she learnt it at her mother's knee, but she must not hear it from your lips.
I cannot charge myself with having ever uttered it, Mrs. Pierce, except perhaps in a moment of extreme and justifiable excitement.
Only this morning, sir, you applied it to your boots, to the butter, and to the brown bread.
Oh, that mere alliteration, Mrs. Pierce, natural to a poet.
Well, sir, whatever you choose to call it, I beg you not to let the girl hear you repeat it.
Oh, very well, very well. Is that all?
No, sir. We shall have to be very particular with this girl as to personal cleanliness.
Certainly, quite right, most important.
I mean not to be slovenly about her dress or untidy in leaving things about.
Just so. I intended to call your attention to that. It is these little things that matter, Pickering. Take care of the pence and the pounds will take care of themselves is as true of personal habits as of money.
Yes, sir. Then might I ask you not to come down to breakfast in your dressing gown?
Hmm?
Or at any rate, not to use it as a table napkin to the extent you do, sir. And if you would be so good as not to eat everything off the same plate, and to remember not to put the porridge saucepan out of your hand on the clean tablecloth, it would be a bitter example to the girl. You know you nearly choked yourself with a fishbone in the jam only last week.
I may do these things sometimes in absence of mind, but surely I don't do them habitually. By the way, my dressing gown smells most damnably of benzene.
No doubt it does, Mr. Higgins, but if you will wipe your fingers...
Oh, very well, very well. I'll wipe them in my hair in future.
I hope you're not offended, Mr. Higgins.
Not at all, not at all. You're quite right, Mrs. Pierce. I shall be particularly careful before the girl. Is that all?
No, sir.
Oh.
Might she use some of the Japanese dresses you brought from abroad? I really can't put her back into her old things.
Certainly, anything you like. Is that all?
Thank you, sir. That's all.
You know, Pickering, that woman has the most extraordinary ideas about me. Here I am, a shy, diffident sort of man. I've never been able to feel really grown up and tremendous like other chaps, and yet she's firmly persuaded that I'm an arbitrary, overbearing, bossing kind of person. I can't account for it.
If you please, sir, the trouble's beginning already. Huh? There's a dustman downstairs. Alfred Doolittle wants to see you. He says you have his daughter here.
Whew, I say.
Send the blackguard up.
Oh, very well, sir.
He may not be a blackguard, Higgins.
Nonsense, of course he's a blackguard.
Whether he is or not, I'm afraid we shall have some trouble with him.
Oh, no, I think not. If there's any trouble, he shall have it with me, not I with him. And we are sure to get something interesting out of him.
About the girl?
No, I mean his dialect.
Oh.